Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 14. We're going to begin in verse 14 and we go down through verse 20. We're talking about the harvest of the earth. Now let me know, remind you about where we're at in our context. Remember the outline of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, the things that thou hast seen, that's the vision of the glorified Christ in Revelation 1. And then the things that are, that's the church age in Revelation 2 and 3. And in our study in Revelation, we're past the church age. The church has been raptured. We're in heaven, chapter 4. And then we see us around the throne in 4 and 5. And then we have the latter part of the outline of the book of Revelation, and that is the things that shall be hereafter. And so we've been talking about the great tribulation. And if we were to be raptured tonight, we're probably looking at about maybe 4 years into the tribulation period when this takes place tonight in our text here. And we know that chapter 14 is a very terrible passage of Scripture for those that don't know the Lord as Lord and Savior. And we're told all through the book of Revelation that men realize that the judgments are coming from God. 21 judgments. We looked at the seal judgments. And we're fixing to look at, we looked at the trumpet judgments. Now we're fixing to look at the bowl judgments, which are more severe. Remember in Matthew 24, the birth pains of the coming of the day of the Lord, creation's groaning, the universe is groaning to be released. Sin will get more ripe and more ripe and more intense and more frequent of the natural disasters and the wars and things like that. And the same way with the 21 judgments, as we moved from the seal judgments and went into the trumpet judgments, they get more severe. Now we're fixing to, in a few weeks, get into the bowl judgments. It's very terrible upon the earth and upon people. And God is purging the earth for the millennial reign of Christ, the promise to the nation of Israel, 1,000-year reign, and punishing Christ's rejectors and punishing Israel for killing the Messiah. But one-third of Israel will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ near the end. So that's where we're at. Now, in our text tonight, in verses 14 to 20, Jesus came at his first coming in humiliation and as a servant. But at his second coming, he comes as sovereign king in majesty and glory. And remember, the rapture could take place at any moment. And then 7 years later, we have the actual second coming, the revelation of Christ, when he comes in the air and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. At the rapture, he comes in the air for his church, calls us up to be with him. And literally, Hades is unleashed upon this earth. Now, at his second coming, he comes as sovereign king in majesty and glory. They may kick him around here. They may make fun of him. They may try to deny him. But one day, they're going to give an account for that. Remember, I told you before, I believe that our nation is in the situation it's in because 1963, prayer and the Bible was taken out of school. 1973, it's okay to kill a baby in the womb. And 60 million babies. And the gay marriage was okayed by the Supreme Court. The separation of church and state, which is a lie. We have freedom of religion. It's not freedom from religion. It's freedom of religion. So those four things have brought the abandonment of God upon our nation, Romans chapter 1, that we've been looking at. Now this narrative is preceded by three angelic warnings in verses 6 through 13 of chapter 14. Remember the declaration of the everlasting gospel, the doom of Babylon, the world system without God, and the doom of beast worshipers. Remember the mark of the beast? If you're here and you're left behind, your only hope of getting to heaven is not to have heard a clear presentation of the gospel in the church age. And second hope is the fact that you don't take the mark of the beast so that you can buy and sell food and do merchandise. So once you take the mark of the beast, which will be on your hand or your forehead, you have been doomed for eternity in hell. Remember, church, some of our older church members, and I mean by older, the ones that have been here the longest, I had a cassette tape down here that I left for people to listen to. In case of rapture, you would know what to expect. But I guess somebody wanted to know more than others, so they stole it. You know, it's gone somewhere. I don't know where it is, but that was cassette. I might make a CD and put it out there. No, but anyway, it's going to be a terrible time. In our text tonight, John sees the Lord Jesus in his future messianic glory as the Son of Man, coming in judgment with his wrath at the end of the tribulation period. He's looking ahead, giving us a prelude of the fact that God wins, Christ wins, kind of encouraging the Apostle John and us too as well. He comes as the Son of Man, coming in judgment with his wrath at the end of the tribulation period to reap his final harvest. Now, in the Bible, the harvest can speak of harvest of believers. There's a harvest to come. All the those involved in the first resurrection were a promise of the harvest to come. But in our text, in Revelation, the harvest is used in a bad way, speaking of judgment. Now, this judgment is depicted tonight by two ways. You see it on your screen. The imagery of a grain harvest in verses 14 through 16, and we get that from the terminology here of a sickle, and it's all of the grain harvest. It symbolizes the bowl judgments that are coming. And then we see tonight, secondly, in verses 17 through 20, the grape harvest, the Battle of Armageddon. And you've heard of that book and that movie called The Grapes of Wrath. I believe, honestly, this is where they probably got it from. But it speaks of the Battle of Armageddon. When Christ comes back, it's not going to be much of a battle. All the nations of the world will be gathered there on the plain of Megiddo, and he's just going to speak the word. One great Bible theologian said he's probably going to say, drop dead, and it'll be over with, right, at Armageddon. And we're not going to fight with him. We just come with him. And, you know, I never had an older brother, but it would have been good to have an older brother that would take up for me, and I could just get behind him and say, go get him, you know. But we're going to have the elder brother, Jesus. He calls him the elder brother. He's going to come and fight for us at the Battle of Armageddon. Let's look at the grain harvest, first of all. Now, tonight, each of these two points has the same subpoints: reapers, ripeness, and reaping. Okay? Now, let's look at the grain harvest in verses 14 through 16. The Bible says, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, and having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. This first harvest we're going to see is the harvest of the earth. The second harvest we're going to look at in just a moment is the harvest of people, in a bad way. In verse 16, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Notice, first of all, the reapers in verse 14. I want to define some terms here. So this coming on a white cloud. The white cloud symbolizes his glory and his majesty. It reminds us of Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions and beheld one like the Son of Man. That's the messianic title of the Lord Jesus Christ. With the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, that's God the Father, and they brought him near him. And there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not be passed away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Remember, in Daniel, lets us know the different world empires that come on the scene, all leading up to the millennial reign of Christ. And that is the millennial reign is that is going to destroy all other kingdoms at that time. Now notice that word Son of Man there in verse 14. It literally means the Son related to mankind. And this speaks of his becoming flesh as the Messiah. He will see this title first given in a text that I read a while ago, Daniel 7:13. So he is the Son of God and the Son of Man. And then the Bible says, talks about a golden crown. Now, it's interesting. I want you all to listen very closely here. It speaks of a victor's crown, a Stephanos crown, speaking of his coming as a conqueror. Now, in Revelation 19:12, when he actually comes at his second coming, we have a different crown there. It's called a diadem crown, two different Greek words, which speaks of him coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And here, this crown is a Stephanos crown, a victor's crown, where he comes and defeats also his enemy. So here we see John sees him as victor. In his actual second coming in Revelation 19:12, he comes as sovereign king. And then we introduce to the word sharp sickle. It's a picture of an ancient grain harvest. That's why we call it this. a sharp sickle, a long, curved, razor-sharp iron blade attached to a wooden handle. They were used to harvest grain that would cut both ways. Some of you might have used an instrument like that. I don't know if you have. Anybody used an instrument like that? We're not quite that old, are we? But this pictures the Lord Jesus Christ completely cutting down his enemies. So we see the reaper in verse 14. We see the ripeness in verse 15. Now notice what it says in verse 15 of chapter 14. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. Right? We've already established that's the Son of Man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time has come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. Ripe. Notice that word there. You might want to underline that word, ripe. Now, the other three angels in this chapter proclaiming the coming judgment. This angel commands them to execute the judgment. He delivers a message from the Father to the Son that the time has come to bring judgment. You know, the world today thinks they're getting by with a lot of things. But one day they're going to have to pay the piper, right? We hope they all repent. We hope they come to know Christ, but we know they're not. It's going to be a terrible time. The earth, notice what it says there in verse 15. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. That word there means dried up or withered or overripe or rotten. We talked about that today, several discussions as we went through our day together, talking about the corruptness of this world and the sin. And it's literally rotten. This world is literally rotten. It's literally withered and overripe. So this speaks of the harvest in Matthew. Brother Ray touched on this a while back. Matthew 13, verse 30. This is not a harvest of believers, but notice what it says. Let both grow together into the harvest, believers and unbelievers. And in time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye therefore first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. That's a messianic text dealing with who enters the millennium. Okay? It's not the rapture. This is who is entering the millennium at the judgment of the goats and the sheep. So we see the reaper, we see the ripeness, and then we see the reaping in verse 16. And he that sat on the cloud thrust the sickle on the earth. Now all this is figurative language, okay? So we know what it's talking about. And he that sat on the cloud thrust the sickle into the earth, and the earth was reaped. In the seal judgments, Christ opens the seven seals and brings about these judgments. In the trumpet judgments, the angels blow a trumpet, and there's more. Angels unleash these things on the earth. Now, the bowl judgments is a picture of the bowl of being poured out, of wrath being poured out upon the earth. So these judgments are being unleashed. So it just seems to me, look at it again in verse 16. And he that sat on the cloud thrust the sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Period. Short. And this one brief verse, judgment is executed. And what follows this, as we'll look at in a couple of weeks, is the seven bowl judgments, more intense and more severe upon this world, yet they would not repent. So these are the first phase of the final reaping of our Lord. So that's the grain harvest. Now in verses 17 through 20, we see the grape harvest. Now let's read that, and I'll show you where we get that. Bible scholars get that from. And another angel in verse 17 came out of the temple which is in heaven. He also had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar which had power over fire and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sickle, sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth. This is a grape harvest. This is not a good harvest. This is the judgment upon the people that reject Christ. For her grapes are what? Notice what it says. Fully ripe. Not just ripe. These are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in the sickle in the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, without Jerusalem. And that's just speaking of, we're talking about the battle of Armageddon. We're getting a preview of the battle of Armageddon that we read about later. And the blood came out of the winepress even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, or 200 miles. So first of all, we see the reaper here in verse 17. This fifth angel comes out of the heavenly temple with a sharp sickle, And again, all these angels play a prominent role in judgment, and I believe they're still doing that today. It's a very sad verse, very sad, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, speaking of the second coming, not the rapture. And he says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. That's those that are being martyred during the tribulation period that missed the rapture, but they're killed for their faith later. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. See, this is a second coming verse. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Everlasting destruction. Eternal ruin is the word there. It's not annihilation. Don't listen to these folks that teach annihilation. Unbelievers are not annihilated. They are in eternal ruin, separated from God forever and ever, in a place called hell, a place with fire. I mean, we don't mind using those terms here because we believe what the Bible teaches. Amen, church? And that's what it teaches. So we see the reaper. Then we see the ripeness in verse 18. And he says, and another angel came out of the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine from the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the sixth angel comes out from the altar, speaking of the unanswered prayers of the saints. Remember, we prayed earlier. I think it was Revelation 6, 7, 8. I don't remember what it was right now. How long, O Lord, will you take vengeance upon our blood that was shed for you? So he's praying for the saints for judgment. Unrepentant sinners are depicted here as clusters from the vine of the earth. The vine of the earth is a term used for unbelievers here in the book of Revelation. There is nobody in this church that likes grapes better than I do. That's my downfall. I think that's why my A1C was up last time I went. I heard that grapes are not good for you, right? Who? Oh, you may be excused, please. Okay, but they taste good. I like to get the green ones. I like to get the red ones. And man, I put them in the refrigerator. Sometimes I put them in the freezer, and I have me a grape popsicle. You know, it's my downfall. But I'm not, Barbara, eating as many as I did, but I am still eating some, okay? But I love grapes. But here it's not speaking about good grapes. It's talking about unbelievers. It's talking about a cluster of the earth. It's talking about unbelievers. It's talking about earth dwellers, in other words. Remember in the Revelation, the word term, we've run across it several times, earth dwellers, it's not about the church. We're taken out before the tribulation. Pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Those that are left behind are called earth dwellers. Now the word ripe here is different than the same Greek word in verse 15. You remember that word in verse 15, ripe? Here it says fully ripe. This is a different Greek word. It's ripe in its prime. Sin, one guy said it this way, sin has reached its pinnacle. And that's when God is going to judge. I don't understand it. To me, sin has already reached its pinnacle. But only God knows that. He's more patient than we are. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But sin has one day going to reach a point when God said, that's enough. You know? And then we see the reaping in verses 19 and 20, a picture of the Battle of Armageddon. He's given us a picture a few years ahead. Given John a picture that God wins, right? And he's given us encouragement here that God is not going to forget the things that the lost world does. They're going to have to pay. Verse 19, and the angel thrust in the sickle in the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, Jerusalem. And blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, Haley, you probably know what I'm talking about here because y'all into horses, right? I hate to disappoint you, but it's going to be a bad time right here. What he's saying here, a wine press. Now, in biblical days, it was two stone basins connected by a trough. And the grapes would be trampled in the upper basin, and the juice would collect in the lower basin. But here it's used of judgment. Here we have a coming preview of Armageddon. Write these verses down if you want to read about the Battle of Armageddon. Joel chapter 3, verse 3. Zechariah 14, 1 through 4. Revelation 16, 16. And Revelation 9, 11 through the end of the chapter. The Battle of Armageddon. It is a plain called Megiddo, about 60 miles north of Jerusalem. That's where the great battle is going to be fought. That's where Napoleon looked at it one time and said, this is the best place you could even have a battle. It is when all the armies of the world, including America, are going to be gathered to do battle with the Antichrist. And with the, after the rapture, there's going to be a lot of power struggle. If you think there's a power struggle now, it's going to be even more severe. The armies of the east, the armies of the west, the armies of the north, they're all coming to Jerusalem to do battle with not only with the Antichrist, but to do battle with Christ. God is putting his hooks in their jaws and drawing them to this plain of Megiddo to be destroyed. They're going there by their own free will. But God is supernatural in his providence going to draw them to this place, and they're going to be destroyed. The Bible says the blood and the will flow up to the horses' bridles for 200 miles. I take that literal. About 4 foot. Can't you imagine 4 foot deep for 200 miles in that valley of Megiddo? You say, what a cruel God. Oh, what a loving God that gave his son to die for the sins of the world. Amen? And that's going to be a terrible time. He gives us a brief preview of that time. So unregenerate mankind faces an awful future, but they don't know it. They reject it. They think it's going to be okay. We're going to get rid of Christians, or we're going to silence their voice, or we're going to bring in our new Green Deal. We're going to take over this. We're going to have a socialism, right? If you want to get my ire up, you just talk about socialism. The only one, did you hear the latest on socialism? Bernie Sanders, one of the ones that backing it. When the minimum wage went to $15 an hour, he had to lay off some of his staff workers. Come on, you ain't got to be a brilliant brain surgeon to figure this out, right? $15 an hour. I'm going to quit preaching. I'm going to go flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. He had to lay off his staff because he didn't want to pay him $15 an hour. Huh? The only ones going to benefit in socialism is the ones at the higher echelon. They're going to be rich as rich, right? But you will not have nothing. If it comes, somebody asked me tonight, well, do you think the church will still be here, that the rapture will have not taken place? Will we, whatever type of government God has us under in the future, do you think, and I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like before the Lord comes. But I do know when they run out of your money and other people's money, it's going to be like Venezuela, right? Y'all understand what I'm saying? There's nothing good about socialism. In fact, they even try to use scripture to talk about it and say, well, Jesus believed in it. The early church took up an offering and they shared with other people. No, you read it. They gave to other men as other men have need, right? And it's just crazy what they come up with. And I don't know what we're going to have to go through, but I'm telling you, we are fat and lazy. We have been blessed, amen? We're not going through what some nations are going through. But we may be fixing to have to pay for our faith. And it costs us something to live for Jesus. Now, next time we're going to look at the prelude to the bowl judgments in chapter 15, 1 through 8. Not next week. We'll be in Romans 6. But the week after that, we're going to be going back into Revelation. And we're going to give a prelude, if you will, to the bowl judgments that begin in chapter 16 of Revelation. As our musicians come tonight, Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we can't skip over it. Lord, we're preaching through the book. We preach whatever's next in the text. It's not our goal to attack anybody, any group of people. My job is to expound the scriptures. And Lord, this morning we were on a more pleasant type of sermon, but tonight we're in Revelation. And we thank you that you win. We thank you tonight that you've given man every opportunity to come to Christ. And we've seen over and over in Revelation how they shake their face at you, shake their hand at you, shake their fist at you. And then want to wonder why men and women go to hell. Thank you, Father, for showing your love outstretched on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. The Bible says very plainly, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible tells us plainly, if we confess the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. So, Father, you've given us ample opportunity to come to a saving relationship. And I pray tonight, Father, as we go through this invitation period, many here have never made a open decision to follow Christ. And it's going to be a terrible time for them. I pray tonight, Father, you save. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.